Today, I want to talk about spiritual warfare. I feel like it's one of these topics that God's been prompting my heart off over this last few weeks. I feel like it's a big topic. I feel like it's like a wow topic, or it's like can it get real spooky, especially Halloween coming up. But I tell you what, I believe it's real and it's important, and we're going to delve into it today. So I want to pray just for a moment, ask the Holy Spirit to come, and then we're going to get right in. So Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing. I pray, Holy Spirit, challenge us in all our ways and cause us to grow because you are with us. Love us, encourage us, bless us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So today we're talking about spiritual warfare. And as I already said, it already sounds loaded. It's already like, what? It's a war zone. I mean, if you want to call it spiritual battles, but it's just important that we realize that we are living in a spiritual world as well as a physical one. We realize that God's everywhere. We realize that God fills the universe, but he's also here on earth. And there is a spiritual battler. There is spiritual warfare simply because there is God and then there is Satan. There is the enemy. And it's not saying that God's not bigger and stronger, but we know for a season and for a time, the word tells us that the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, that he has limited authority and he is here on earth up to no good realistically. And I think what we have to realize to ourselves is say this, look, he's real, it happens, and so how do we deal with it? Well, I believe that the Bible is one of the most important weapons that we have for every walk of our life, but especially when it comes to spiritual warfare. And here's what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And then watch this. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, God wants us to be thoroughly equipped. In other words, we're ready for every single season that would come. Wouldn't matter if this would happen, we're prepared for it. Wouldn't matter if this would happen, we're ready for it. And the Bible doesn't speak about every single core issue, but it gives us values and it gives us abilities to be able to deal with everything from the words that it gives us. And so as we get into spiritual warfare, then here's what I want us to think about. I want us to think about two big things that sometimes we can do that can make a huge mistake. We either go overemphasize on it or we go underemphasize on it. You know, it's either we go crazy on it and everything's a demon and everything's the devil and he gets the blame for every single thing, or we turn around and we say, well, look, it's non-existent and it's just Jesus and everything else is lovely and something's just happened. Well, what I've learned from the mission field, what I've learned from life is that the demonic is real. In fact, it's there all the time, and it's by God's grace that we don't seem to have to face it all of the time, and it's God's protection. But it is there. There are things going on and we have to become aware of it and we have to be able to deal with it. So today I want us to think about this. If we are going to not go to too much blame and blaming the enemy for every single thing and it's the demonic attack, which we can get into sometimes, and we're not going to go to the complete other extreme where we ignore everything, how are we going to get balance in the middle? And I believe what we need is biblical balance, where we understand the word of God. It becomes that sword in our hands and we become used to using the sword. We understand what the sword says and we know how to use it and we know how to exercise it and we know how to be able to handle it with skill and with ability. You see, Jesus sometimes cast out demons from people, and other times he simply healed them. You know, sometimes it was this, sometimes it was that, sometimes a combination of both. And I think what we have to realize in life, we're going to face all of these things, but it's how we face them, and it's about keeping Jesus first. And I want to say that right from the outset. We are talking about spiritual warfare, but really what we're saying is Jesus first. And Jesus is our first port of call, and Jesus is the one that we turn to. And so what is it? I guess we got to try and figure out what are we talking about tonight. Here's what it says in Ephesians 6:12. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You're like, whoa, what a list. Like, what a list. Forget the bodies in Avengers. Forget Darth Vader. This is the real deal right here. Come on, you know what I'm saying? And it's saying, look, our battle is not against flesh and blood. I mean, sometimes we got to be mindful of this. Otherwise, we can blame other people. We can say this, we can say that. Now, can the enemy use people or be influenced to some degree? Absolutely. But the real enemy is not the person across the room from you. Your real enemy is not your mom or dad or your brother or sister or even the most evil person on the planet. That is not your most real enemy. It's not flesh and blood, but it's the rulers against these authorities. It's the powers of the dark world. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And the ultimate war is this, for the heart of man, either for the lost, because there's lost people that don't know Jesus, or for the people that are saved. But that is the battle that the enemy is raging every single day. And of course, God's in the battle. And of course, God wins the battle. And he defeats everything and he controls everything. But there is an enemy at play. And we have to be aware of this. And we have to say, right, how do I get through this? How do I battle through this? See, God sent Jesus in love to destroy the works of the enemy. But then John 10:10 tells us that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So he has an agenda. He has a point to him. He's not just going around just wondering about this thing or that thing. No, he has a clear focus. Kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus is greater. We keep saying this all the time. We're aware, but we're not overwhelmed. We are conscious that there is an enemy. We're not oblivious to it, but we're not cowering in fear because we know God is with us. We simply want to get equipped today. We simply want to become more aware. You see, Satan has one goal: separate you from the Word of God. Separate you from God himself. Separate you. Take the world and separate it from God. Don't let you realize that you could have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, which is beyond comprehension. This is what he doesn't want you to know. He started in the garden with Adam and Eve when Eve got too close to him. And I think that's a lesson learned for all of us. You get too close to the enemy, you listen to his voice, and before you know it, he deceives you. This is why I'm never comfortable when people go out and say, I'm going after the demons. I don't know if we ever go after the demons. I think we could find ourselves in big trouble. We go after the Son. We go after Jesus, and he takes care of the demons. We learn from the book of Acts that at one point, the sons of Sheba, they go out and they try to attack these demons and cast them out of the people. And eventually the demons turn around and says, hey, who are you? What a creepy response to get. It says, Paul, we know. And Jesus, we know, but we don't know you. And they give them a beating to the end of their lives. I mean, this is real stuff. We're blessed, and we are blessed in our country. Maybe it's different in yours, but we are blessed. We don't see this on a day-to-day basis, although it's there. And maybe that's partly our fault because we got to go and look for some things and be in the right environments that we actually would find ourselves in warfare, because sometimes we can get to comfort far too quickly, and that's another battle altogether. And then other times we can just be too gung-ho. I'm going in here to destroy darkness and defeat the demons and all that. We got to be very, very careful. We go after Jesus always. Jesus is our number one. And when things arise, then, of course, we're able to act in the name of Jesus, and we're able to move, and we're able to see his power come to pass. You see, here's what I believe the enemy has tactics for. It says, if you're not a Christian, well, then I believe he's pleased. His agenda for you is probably to use you to distract other people, but he's pleased with you. But if you are a Christian, then he wants to make you ineffective. That's the ultimate goal or the agenda of the enemy for your life. And if you're an effective Christian, then do not be surprised when spiritual attacks come and you begin to get discouraged or disheartened. In fact, whenever you feel discouraged or disheartened, let it be a warning. Let it be a reminder that, wow, maybe I'm under spiritual attack at this moment. I'm not going to give the devil all the glory, but maybe there's something going on that I'm unaware of, or maybe I am, and I want to make sure I get to Jesus because Jesus is my answer. Jesus is the one who helps me. You see, he has some incredible weapons. If you were the enemy, you would say they're incredible. If you're a Christian, you'd be like, they're the worst. But he does have some incredible tactics. He uses confusion. He loves to confuse. He loves to confuse us and make us think this thing was really that thing. He loves to confuse. And obviously, it's all about trying to confuse us around the truth because he's the author of lies. He confuses the brethren. He loves to tempt us. I mean, he tempted Jesus for those 40 days, 40 nights. He came three times. He loves to tempt us. And again, I know sometimes we walk ourselves into temptation. The Lord's Prayer says, lead me not into temptation. But there are other times where the enemy comes right to our door and he tempts us. And we have to realize that we're not to fall into temptation. Temptation's not a sin, but when we actually act on it, then it more often than not becomes sinful. He's an accuser. I mean, he loves to accuse you. He loves to blame you of things that you've never done or things that have been spoken over you. That's who you are. That's what you'll become. That's just your identity. He loves to tell all of these things. And he loves smoke and mirrors. He loves to bring confusion. He loves to spoil the truth. He loves to bring a counterfeit. That is the goal of the enemy. But let me just bring some good news, because I know sometimes it can be like, oh, come on, give me some good news. I want to tell you this. Are you ready for some good news? Jesus has already won. Come on, say it again. Jesus has already won. Death has been defeated. What we're not talking about is trying to rally ourselves up and say, whoa, I'm in the middle of this. No. Our King has already won. I just want us to become aware. I need us to become equipped because the enemy still does act and move. This is the contradiction it almost seems like. It's like, but if he's won, why is he not done? And he is done, but he's still got a limited time on the earth. And there's still sin because we know we live in a broken, fallen world. We're not in heaven yet. Even though we're seated in heavenly places, this is the dilemma of our faith in a sense. This is the contradiction sometimes in our faith, but I don't believe it is a contradiction. It just feels like a contradiction whenever you come with a worldly perspective. But it's more this, it's here, but not yet. It's like, you know, he's won, but I'm still content. And I'm believing, but and I'm thankful, but I haven't seen it just yet. Because there can be a tension in faith. There can be a gap in faith in the sense of, I'm believing for it, but I haven't seen it quite yet. But I know God's good. So the delay is just one of these things. It will come to pass. Jesus is coming back for a beautiful bride. Part of the delay is to allow us to get better. Part of the delay is actually for our benefit. God's never late. And he's never early. He's just perfect. And he knows what he's up to. And so by faith, what we do is we say, in the midst of this tension, in the midst of this weight, in the midst of it, what it can feel like sometimes a contradiction, we go, but here's what I do know. Jesus is in control. Jesus has got this. We have nothing to fear. We must not fear. But what we must do is be prepared and aware. Jesus has already won. The enemy has been defeated. But here's where we got to get real. Sin still abounds. Roman tells us sin abounds. Now here's the comfort, or here's the outcome. But where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So yes, there is a measure of sin still here. Even though the sting has been taken out of the enemy, we still know there's a sting of death because you lose the one you love. Even though you know they're with Christ, even though their home is secure in heaven, there's still a loss in that. Come on, we've got to be real about this. And this is why as Christians, we've got to be real. Because it's easy to go, okay, spiritual warfare, I get that. But I'm under the blood. It's got no effect on me. And I'm like, I know what you're saying. But we still live in a broken, fallen world. And if we always run to the spiritual, then we're going to get constantly beat up in the physical. If we hide and run away to the spiritual, it can be equally as bad as hiding in the physical. In fact, maybe even worse. We've got to be aware and we've got to be equipped. People are still being lost. People are dying every single day. Yes, but the word says now is the day of salvation. So God's still doing incredible things. Spiritual warfare is happening, absolutely, but we are on the winning side. And today, why we're talking about it is because I want to show you, stay on the winning side. Don't give up your birthright, as we learned way back in the Old Testament with Cain and Abel. Don't give up your birthright. Religion always wants you to work for something you already have. Don't fight for something you've already got. Don't fight an enemy that's already defeated. He's just coming around like a roaring lion, but we have one roaring lion, and that's the Lion of Judah, Jesus himself. Come on, church. I'm equipping you with the right things of the word. I'm equipping your heart with truth in the midst of so much confusion and so much truth here, there, and everywhere. God is on the move. And so everything has been exposed and defeated, but day to day, we still live on earth. And so it's kind of like that thing of like, you know, the guy's been exposed or, you know, like the truth has been exposed, but it just hasn't come to pass just yet. Like the final outcome hasn't happened, but the sting's gone. Everybody knows. You know, that type of thing. It's like, you know, like you know the truth now. The truth has been exposed. You've become aware of it. And it's like, even though it still hasn't fully come to an end yet, well, all power is gone. This is what we should be mindful of when it comes to the enemy. Where the enemy gets his power is when we start to believe his lies. Why? Because we're men and women of faith. And anything we believe in, the measure of faith that we've been given, will bring life to it. Because there's life in your words. So we don't bring life to the things of the enemy. That's why we don't blame him for this thing and that thing. Because sometimes we have to take personal responsibility. And we have to be well equipped. Otherwise, we'll fall for everything that comes on our path. So now we need to get equipped. Now that we're aware of this, we need to be equipped so that we can overcome rather than be overcome. And we need to see clearly and understand what we're doing. And so really what we need is spiritual discernment. Discernment is one of these things where it's a big word, but it's basically saying this, the ability to be able to see right from wrong, the ability to be able to see black and white, the ability to be able to see what's true and what's not, the ability to be able to see what's God and what's simply good or what's evil. But to be able to decipher between things, to be able to discern between things. And so, in other words, it's like wisdom. And where can we get the wisdom? Well, the Bible teaches us there are two main sources of wisdom. Through the Bible, through the Word of God, and then there is prayer. And we can ask God, and we simply say, God, I want you to give me wisdom. I want you to give me this kind of wisdom that you have, because I need it, God, to be able to decipher my life. I need it, God, to be able to navigate issues of life, because there are so many things that come our way. And I want to encourage you that the Word of God has the answers. The Word of God is one of those things. If you just saturate yourself more and more in the Word of God, it's like once you've seen the truth, you become like one of those people that if you've used Photoshop enough, then you can tell straight away what's been Photoshopped. If you've used the word of God enough, then you'll see straight away the lie, because it doesn't make sense. You know what the truth is. You may not know everything that's untrue, but you know everything that is true. And the minute you see something that's not right, you're like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right. You know when you get that feeling? You call it like a spidey sense, you know what I mean? But you get that feeling, you go, it just doesn't fit right, or it just doesn't sound right, or it just doesn't seem right. It's almost like the Holy Spirit just giving you wisdom in a situation you're unaware of or you've never known before, but you know the word. And of course, then we can pray. And we can ask God to come and give us wisdom for every season. You see, as we read the Bible, we see many occasions of spiritual battles. And I want us to go to one today. And I want us to think about one today. And we're going to go to the book of 1 Kings. I love this story. It's the story of Elijah. And you're going to find Elijah, he's in a sweet spot. He's about to come to one of the greatest days of his life where things are just going to become easy. You know, one of those days where it's like, you didn't even have to try. Everything just worked out. You got blessing after blessing. And it felt like in some ways, either all things fell into place or all that you've been praying for just came into the right zone. It just came into the right day and it all became the day it all happened. You're like, this is the greatest day of my life. Well, this is the day for Elijah. Elijah's about to have one of the greatest days of his life. And I want to read it from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20, and just read it over your heart. It says, Ahab, he was the king at the time, sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a challenge between God and all the other gods. And of course, first commandment is you have no other gods before me. It's like God's a jealous God. He's the only true God. Everything else is small g, and we give them power by our faith, but let's not do that. And he says this, gather them all at Mount Carmel, verse 21, and Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. He's simply saying, guys, come on, are you going to get this thing right? Are you going to follow after the one true God? Are you going to go follow after this God and that God? And in fact, on this occasion, what's going to happen is 450 prophets of Baal. Baal was the God of the day. He was not a good God because there's no other God like our God, but he was the God that they thought could answer by fire, and so they were going to challenge him to fire. And of course, what you're going to learn in the story is he could not produce. He was an impotent God. He could not produce when it was required, but our God can, because our God is the one true God. Every other God is a counterfeit. Every other God is a false idol. Every other God is not true. And it's the ways of the enemy. He flatters and deceives. You feel like he's showing you the truth, but it's not. There's a giving, but there's always a takeaway. God always gives and gives and gives. He blesses above and beyond. And so the stage is set. There's going to be a challenge. There's two sides, the prophets of Baal and the man of God. Who is going to win? Well, I can tell you what, you know who's going to win. The man of God is going to win. But notice this, Elijah is a man of God, not because he's decided to be, but because God's called him. He's a man of humility. God's seen something in him. You know, it's easy just to rise up and self-title and go, hey, I'm ready to go. Be ready. That could be your own downfall. Be humble. Be obedient and listen to the voice of God. And this was God-led, not Elijah deciding to show off and make God and get God to make him look good. This was Elijah saying, okay, my God can do what yours can't. So the 450 prophets of Baal are there, and they set the scene. You go and read the whole story. It would take too long to do it today, but they set out the altars. They begin crying. It says they began cutting themselves because hour after hour would go by. And eventually Elijah turns around and says, guys, your gods are weak. They're never going to do this thing. And he starts mocking them, starts like calling out to them. Not sure I advise this on a day-to-day basis, but you know, you got to trust that God was leading them in this. And eventually he just says, enough is enough. And says, Elijah says, it's my turn. Verse 37 of chapter 18, 1 Kings, here's what it says. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, and that you are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. He's simply saying, God, come on, come and show the true God. Come and show yourself to these people. These people need your love. These people have been separated from you for so long. It's time to get them back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. This is why you got to read the story, because Elijah basically soaked the altar with water, gallon after gallon after gallon, to prove that it would have to be a supernatural fire, because natural fire will never light in water. It says, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. What a declaration. What a moment for God to show up and for hearts to be turned around. This is spiritual warfare right in our faces. I mean, you couldn't get more dramatic. The enemy's right there, and then God comes in all his power. And the enemy was bold, and the enemy was brash, but the enemy was not good enough. He couldn't do what he said he could do. God can do what he says he can do. I'm telling you, our focus is on God. We don't become discouraged by the enemy. We become encouraged by our Savior. We become encouraged by God. And what the enemy couldn't do, God could do. This is the truth of the good news. This is the truth of Jesus. You see, this was a spiritual battle. Everyone could see it. But most days we live in an unseen realm in terms of the spiritual world and spiritual warfare. And it's not saying it's not there, and it's not saying it's not happening in our lives, but it's simply said we are, for some shape or form, we're not getting to see it up close and personal. And maybe part of that is just God's goodness. But what do you do when you begin to see it? How do you cope in those moments? How do you go through in those moments? And today I really want us to think about that, because it is in those moments that can catch us off guard. And if we haven't got good discernment, what are we going to do? You see, for Elijah, he was an incredible season. It goes on at the end of chapter 18 and talks about him going out and bringing rain. This was always about rain. And then God comes with rain, because the enemy sometimes comes to burn things up. God comes to refresh things with rain. And maybe today he needs to come and refresh your soul. And so Elijah prays again, and he sends a servant out. And there's this crazy story of go out seven times. I see this size, a cloud the size of a man's hand, rains on the way. Hitch up your chariot, go tell Ahab. Elijah starts to run like Superman sort of thing, super fast. And then the floods come. It's just this incredible season of his life. But can I tell you this? And this is where I really want to speak today and encourage your heart. And I believe this is the most important part of the message, is that being on God's path does not guarantee you immunity from the troubles of life and from spiritual attack. In fact, it will be the complete opposite. But sometimes what we find ourselves in believing, and sometimes what we find ourselves living in, we go, well, this is the blessing of God. And then when something else comes, it puts us all at sea. And we go extreme to the left, or we go extreme to the right. And we begin to blame God, or we begin to say, God, why this, why that? But can I just tell you that spiritual warfare is normal everyday life, and God's constantly winning the battle for us, and God's constantly with us, but we are at times going to face more exposure than others. And the next day, what's going to happen, Elijah, is going to be a day like, wow, this is the worst day. And so much so that it nearly snuffs every part of him out, because it's almost like he was unaware that in the midst of the incredible blessing of God, the enemy is still real and he's coming back hard. And if we're not on our guard, he will snuff us out with discouragement. And remember, his ultimate goal is to take an effective Christian and make you ineffective. His ultimate goal is just to get you feeling like lethargic and anxious and nervous and giving up on God, or at the very least, just becoming non-active for the things of God. You're just not living out your faith. You're just not living in the ways that God has called you to. And so we get to 1 Kings 19, and everything is about to change. And he's going to go from the greatest day of his life to possibly the worst day of his life, literally. It says this, then Jezebel, she was the queen, she sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do make so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as a life of one of them by this time tomorrow. What had happened at the end of the story was Elijah put to death all the prophets of Baal, and now the prince, the queen, is raging because these were her prophets. And she says, what you did to them, I'm doing to you. You better be watching out, Elijah. I am coming for you. It was Jack and the Beanstalk, fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman or woman or girl. And the enemy was after him. And here comes Elijah. Then he was afraid. Wow. I wonder, would we have been afraid in that moment? I would say so. And he arose and ran for his life. Wow. This is the man of God. He knows the heart of God. He's seen the power of God. He's seen the Lord move. And now suddenly he's on the run and he doesn't know what to do. His life is in turmoil. And I want to tell you, there are moments like this. And in fact, it's part of your journey. You're going to go through the highs and the lows. Jesus did it. We're going to do it. Maybe you've faced it over this last season. It's not necessarily saying that you're a bad person. It's just saying we are in a spiritual battle. And some days the enemy comes with full force. And unless our guard is right and our hearts are right, he just gets right in there deep. Maybe for poor old Elijah, he was sitting at the end of that day and he was saying, look at me, Lord, look what I've done. And Jezebel, the enemy comes in the form of Jezebel, and the very next day he's on the run and he's going, oh my goodness, I am the worst. And God, where are you? See, the enemy is real, church, and this is why we talk about this stuff to equip us for every good work. This is what the Word of God does. And so we become aware of it, so we become ready for it. And when the enemy comes and he tries to deceive us and he tries to say, but if you were a really good Christian, then you wouldn't be having a bad day. You go, no. I realize that God could be moving in one day, and then it's sure enough, the enemy might come in the next day. And so God will help me in both. God is with me. Doesn't matter if it's the good day or the bad day. I need God for both. Church, what if we need to remind ourselves of that? What if we say to ourselves, well, I could see God in a good day, but where is he in a bad day? Can I just say that you need God for both days and every other day in between? Because the spiritual battle is real, but if God is for us, who can be against us? Come on, amen. Come on, let's remind our souls of that. And so he got down, he got depressed, and he took it all to heart. And in actual fact, he became suicidal. He became suicidal. He goes, take my life, Lord. And I started to think about this. Now, I'll go funny just for a moment, but I'm trying to make a serious point. It says, then Jezebel sent a messenger. Maybe you've had a messenger attack. You ever had a messenger attack? And it wasn't somebody on foot, but it was through social media. You literally had a Facebook messenger attack. And you just say to yourself, I've had the best day ever. I just qualified from university. I've just got married. I've just this, I've just that. And then the next day, here comes a Facebook messenger attack, or an Instagram messenger attack, or an SMS messenger attack, and you find yourselves broken and on the floor. Can I tell you, God has not abandoned you? Can I tell you that God has not left you? Can I tell you it's not because you're a bad person? Can I tell you it's not because you've necessarily done something wrong? If that's the case, it may be. But I would say chances are bigger than that you just didn't understand what was really going on. There is a spiritual battle at play. And we need the Lord both for the good days and the bad days. In fact, maybe even more so for the bad days, because that's when the enemy can start to come like he did with Eve and start to deceive us. Did God really say? You know, it can come into our hearts and go, did God really mean this? If God was for you, why would you be going through this? I am telling you, God never promised us a perfect life. He just promised us that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. And he is teaching us things in those moments that he cannot teach us in any other moments. He redeems all things. And so he got down, he got discouraged, he got a messenger attack. And so what do you do? What do you do in those moments? Well, here's what I want to say. Maybe you got to fight fire with fire, like Elijah did. Maybe you got to fight fire with fire and you got to say, hey, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get a word from God because the enemy sent me his word. Because remember, there's power in your words, whether it be yours, the enemy's, or God's. And the enemy sent his word and it got Elijah discouraged. But God, I got to find your word. I got to see what your word says. And so we find the voice of God. And here's what it says. God speaks to him. And the verse 13, beginning of verse 14. What are you doing here, Elijah? God begins to speak. He speaks a couple of times to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord. This is Elijah. He's pouring out his heart. And for the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Elijah's got himself in a really, really tough spot. He has forced himself into this dark cave, which we all can find ourselves in. You know that one where we've dug our own hole, where we've dug our own cave and we've jumped in by our own ideas and by our own wisdom for some reason, and we're lacking discernment, but we've jumped ourselves in. And Elijah does this. He jumps right into the cave. Jezebel, her word might be true, but God's word's truer. Like, he hasn't even cried out to God to say, God, protect me or save me. He's overwhelmed. He's exhausted, most likely, from the day before. And he gets overwhelmed the next day. And now he's on the run, and he doesn't know what to do. In fact, it says he's on the run for over 40 days at this point. He doesn't know what to do. And the Lord says, what are you doing here? Isn't the Lord gracious that even in those moments when we run away from him, even those moments when we're discouraged by him, or at least we feel he's let us down and we run away, that the Lord never leaves us? Come on, guys, you got to know this today. He never leaves us. And he comes and he whispers to Elijah. And there's this incredible account in chapter 19. You got to see, and he wasn't in this and he wasn't in that. And then he comes in the still small voice and he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? He speaks to him and he speaks hope. Verse 15, and the Lord says to them, go, return on your way. See, here's what I love about the things of God. Here's what I love about the Lord. We make mistakes. We let ourselves down. We get carried away. The enemy rages. We fall into sin, temptation, whatever it might be. And yet the Lord is gracious. And he says, come on, I've still got you. Come on, what are you doing here, son? What are you doing here, daughter? What are you doing here? Come on, come with me. Let's go. It's time for you to go again. And maybe that's the word in season for you today. Come on, let's go again. Come on, I need you to return. You've got lost. You've been heading away for 40-odd years like Moses. You've been on the run for 40-odd days like Elijah. But don't leave now. Don't stay away. Come back. Come back. Go return to your way. That's what he says in verse 15. You see, true spiritual warfare is part of the story. Here's the truth in it. The truth of spiritual warfare is that it is part of our story and it's part of Elijah's story. And yet God brought him through it all in the good and the bad. This is what we got to know. We're not doing this alone. And as we live for God, troubles are going to happen. Great moments can become the worst moments, but God will not fail us. Great moments can become the worst moments. I've been to like a conference and be like, wow, I was talking about the faithfulness of God. I was talking about the goodness of God. And then a couple of hours later, I've missed my flight with a brand new baby. Not recently, a couple of years ago. And I'm like, man, it would have been easy to blame God. And I did for a moment. Then I realized it was me, the idiot, that missed the plane. Was that the devil? I don't know. I would say probably not. I think it was just a mismanagement of time. And I had to get real. And sometimes we've got to get real with ourselves. We got to go, okay, what are the silly mistakes that I make? But God is with me. And so let me finish off finally with an attempt of how maybe this plays out each and every day. Troubles. Troubles are kind of those low-level things, and they come in the form of maybe your car breaks down, a bill that you didn't expect, a personal relationship issue, you lose your job out of the blue, just all of those. These are troubles, and they worry us, and they consume us. I'm not sure necessarily the enemy is directly involved in those things. I think it's a byproduct for his endeavors. Let's say it like that. Remember, the enemy is not at war with God. God's already in total control, but the enemy plays where the Lord's not functioning, in the sense of he has his way in society where there is not the opportunity for God's love to move because there's just not people there to walk and to live in the light and the love of Christ. Come on, he fills the vacuums. He fills the voids. So we are called to go like light into the world and literally light it up. And light always exposes the darkness. And you read right from the beginning of Matthew, it says that when the light comes, darkness has to go. This is the good news of the gospel. And this is why, yes, we talk about spiritual warfare, but why we don't get overly concerned with it in the sense of, will we win, will we not? We've already won. We just become aware of it. We just become equipped by it so it doesn't deceive us, because that's how it can have its day. But maybe more serious things is that suddenly everything falls apart. I don't know if you've read the story of Job, but his whole life fell apart. What happened? Well, God said, Satan came to God and says, have you got a man that I could test that could really see if they truly believe? Because Satan was trying to test God and say, yeah, but when you're out of their life, they'll never follow you. And God says, oh, would you? I'm not so sure. I've got a man who I know loves me. I've got a man who will not forsake me. You go and test my servant Job. And God gives him permission. And he strips him of everything. I mean his kids, his wife, his everything. And yet Job would not turn against God. That was a direct spiritual attack. I pray that that happens to none of us. But that's how sometimes the enemy can come. We're attacked spiritually. Maybe we begin to lose hope and it's just suddenly out of the blue and it's peace and it's passion and it's joy. And sometimes that can be a direct spiritual attack where the enemy really is at our door and he's trying to grab a hold and take a foothold. And sometimes it's by things that we've done or just things we've become exposed to, but we've let our guards down. Elijah let his guard down, and that's how the enemy always works, when you begin to let your guard down. Because as a believer, we've got the Holy Spirit. There is no wrestle between the Holy Spirit and the demons. He wins every single time. But if we let our guard doubts and we allow a foothold for the enemy in our lives, then suddenly he starts to gain some ground. Let's not allow that to happen. Maybe there's severe testing and temptation. Jesus, notice his life. He's the perfect one. It says that he's about to begin his ministry. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in Luke 4, he goes into the wilderness. This seemed to be part of his journey. He goes in to learn. He goes in to get closer to God. But in those moments of dedication to God, the enemy comes and he tests him 3 times. And every single time Jesus overcame him by the word of God. And church, I have to get you to understand this again. I just want to reiterate the point, like a good teacher, that the enemy is going to come as you serve the purposes of God. That the enemy is going to come because he's trying to seize opportunity, because he knows if you get too strong, it's too hard to take you out. So I'm coming to try and take you out in the infancy stage. I'm coming to take you out in the immature stages. I'm coming to take you out when you're tired and when your guard is down, because that's when he comes into play. Come on, be of God, be keep our hearts above all else, because out of it flow the issues of life. We've got to guard our hearts. We've got to be the guardians of our heart, and the Lord will help us through faith. Paul was persecuted all the way through the New Testament. Was it because he was a bad Christian? No, he was literally standing out before the forces of darkness, and he was bringing down heaven everywhere he went. And so he was directly persecuted by the enemy himself. Maybe we'll face a demon directly in the face someday. Again, I hope not. Sometimes that can happen. See, sometimes it's a demon, but a lot of the times, or demonic attack, but a lot of the times, it's just the effects of sin and the absence of God's presence. And when we let our guard down, suddenly the enemy can begin to gain a foothold. Let's just say, be gone in Jesus' name and get back to it. Understanding, it may not be possible. The understanding that we try to seek sometimes in these situations, it may not be possible. We may not be able to figure out, why did this happen? Why did it happen? We may have no understanding for it. But I tell you what we can always do is pray. We can always pray because we can seek God and He is good. And even when we don't understand this, we focus on what we do understand. Jesus is King. God is in control. Jesus is Lord. You see, what we can do is strengthen our hearts with the Word of God, which allows us to keep our defenses up at all times. I mean, Ephesians 6 tells us, put on the whole armor of God. The Lord says to pray without ceasing. The Lord says, stand firm and the devil will flee. Resist him at all times because God's with you. I mean, He will always provide for you. He will always help you. He will always strengthen you. Strengthen your heart with the Word of God. It is a wonderful defense against the powers of darkness. Surround yourselves with people who will encourage and challenge you. Come on, if you don't have people around you that are Christians who love you and are for you and challenge you, how will you ever expect to grow? If you're done at 19, if you're done at 25, if you're done at 39 like me, heaven forbid, I have a long way to go yet. I need the Lord to continue to grow me because there are fresh challenges along the way and me can start to get in the way of Him. And again, that's where the enemy loves to get a foothold. I love to finish with this. If we're to overcome and have the ways out that we need and to be able to fight the battles that would come our ways, because there are spiritual battles, spiritual warfare, whatever way you class it, they are coming, they're on the way. We feel the effects of them, whether indirectly or directly, they are on the way to us. But I believe if we commit ourselves to personal discipleship, to constantly growing and growing more like Jesus, then we're going to know how to handle every spiritual battle. When the enemy came to Jesus, He spoke the word of God every single time, and one by one by one, the enemy was rebuked and he fell away. That is the secret to our success. The enemy will come. He will come in many different forms. We're not to get discouraged in that or disheartened. In fact, maybe it's a sign that we're going the right ways. I'll say it with that. It could be a good sign that we're going the right ways if we're following after the things of God. But as we do, as he does come, be mindful of the word of God. Hide it in your heart. Saturate yourself in the Word of God. Commit to daily discipleship with Him and having people around you, and watch how as you grow your heart and guard your heart and protect yourself from the Word of God, you will overcome in every season. And in fact, you'll be like what the early disciples saw when Jesus sent out the 70. It said that they came back and said, we even seen the demons submit to us in your name, because the authority of God was all over them. Come on, churches, we submit ourselves to God and we're obedient to Him. I tell you what, that authority of Jesus starts to come over our lives and we start to move in realms that we never moved. We start to move in ways as we never moved before. And as attacks come and discouragements come and we get disheartened sometimes with this thing, or at least has the potential to dishearten us, we suddenly find ourselves stronger. We suddenly find ourselves more wisdomful. We suddenly find discernment begins to rise in our heart, and we're able to lead and encourage in those moments that before may have brought us down. The finish of Elijah was that he handed over to Elisha, and Elisha went on to do incredible things. The Lord did not leave Elijah, even though the enemy came with a messenger attack. If you've had a messenger attack recently, come on, confess it to God, allow the Lord to come and encourage you and let Him bless you today. We're gonna pray. And I wanna pray today. Maybe there's been a battle over your life. Maybe it's been a battle for your life. And the enemy's goal has been to separate you from God. Maybe you've been close to God and you've walked away from Him, or maybe you've never come to Him. I wanna give you opportunity today that you would put your trust in Jesus, and we're gonna do it right now, amen? So come on, let's close your eyes and pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. And I pray, Lord, that you would really come. I pray, Holy Spirit, maybe there's some people right now that need Jesus. The Bible is very clear. If we would confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, then we'll be saved. And as the early disciples find out, they said they became followers of Jesus. We confess and we follow. And so, pray, Lord, I pray right now for anybody that needs to do that, they would do it right now in Jesus' name. Just say yes to him and begin this wonderful journey with Jesus. Lord, I pray right now for everybody else. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would simply come. Lord, I pray for any of us that have felt exposed, maybe over this last year or two, and we've really felt the attacks of the enemy, maybe directly or indirectly. Lord, I pray, give us wisdom to seek your voice and to hear your voice for restoration. Maybe for some of us, we go super extreme and we go, everything's the devil, everything's demonic. Lord, I pray, bring us back to a biblical balance where we can see the truth in love. Lord, I pray for those that maybe just say, I ignore all of this stuff, it's all a load of nonsense. Lord, I pray for clarity and wisdom, even in the midst of that. But I pray for all of us, discernment, Lord. I pray for all of us that we would be on our guard. I pray for all of us that we would protect our hearts, because there is an enemy that goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. But then there is the Lion of Judah. There is the Holy Spirit. There is the Holy One of Israel. There is Jesus. And he's the one who answers by fire. He's the one who fills to all overflow. And I pray today, Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you would come and cover your people. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and flood us with your power and with your wisdom and with your love, and that you would strengthen us today, that we would overcome in every single circumstance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.